7. Canned meat. We walked up a ramp, took a long last look at sea and sky and friendly sun. It would not be our friend in space. And went inside. The carrier had a new car smell, which you can buy in an aerosol can, in case you're trying to sell a used car or a slightly used space elevator. There were two levels. The first level had 20 couches that were like old-fashioned Lazy Boy chairs, plush black, with feet pointing out and heads toward the center. Each couch had a window, a high-def shallow cube, all of which were tuned to look like actual windows for the time being. So there was still sun and sea and sky if you were willing to be fooled. There was a little storage bin on the side of each couch, with a notebook and a couple of paper magazines, and that stack of barf bags. Three exercise machines, for rowing, stair-stepping, and biking, were grouped together where the ladder led up to the second level. The woman who was our attendant, Dr. Porter, stood on the second rung of the ladder and talked softly into a lapel mic.
"We have about 60 minutes till liftoff. Please find your area and be seated by then. Strapped in by 1 o'clock. That's 1300 for you scientists. I'll be upstairs if anyone has questions."
She scampered lightly up the ladder. "I have a question I didn't say. Could I just jump off and swim for it?" My information packet said I was 21A. I found the seat and sat down, half reclining. Card was next to me in 20A. Mother and Dad were upstairs in the B section. Card took a vial out of his packet and looked at the 5 pills in it.
"You nervous?" he said.
"Yeah. Thought I'd save the pills for later, though." They were doses of a sedative. The orientation show admitted that some people have trouble falling asleep at first. Can you imagine?
"Probably smart."
He looked pretty much like I felt. The control console for the window came up out of the armrest and clicked into place over your lap. On one side, it had a keyboard and various command buttons. But you could rotate it around, and it was like an airplane tray table with a fuzzy gecko surface. Card tapped away at the keyboard, which caused a ghostly message to cascade down the window in several languages. "Monitor locked until after launch." I touched one key on mine and got the same message, dim letters floating down in front of the fake seascape. "They're just trying to make us feel comfortable," I said, but it was kind of disappointing. The window would normally be a clever illusion. You could play a game or read a book or whatever, but nobody could see what was on your monitor unless they were right in line with it, sitting on your lap. From any other angle, it would just look like a window looking outside. It had something to do with polarization. The screen was actually showing two images, but you could only see one or the other. With an hour to kill, I wasn't going to just sit and look through a fake window. I joined Barry and Elspeth in trying out the exercise machines, which were mainly for those of us going on to Mars. The others were just tourists going to the Hilton. They weren't going to be in space long enough for zero-G to turn their bones to dry sticks and their muscles to mush. Then we went upstairs and took a look at the zero-G toilet. We'd sort of trained on it in Denver, in the Vomit Comet, the big ancient plane that gave us 50 seconds of zero-G at a time. Up and down, all day long. I was able to get my feet into the footholds and lower my butt into place, but that was it. I'd learn about the rest soon enough. But not too soon. There was a regular toilet next to it, with a sign saying, "For use until 0.25G. So we had a few days. The personal hygiene closet looked claustrophobic. Once a day, you got a plastic bag with 2 washcloths wetted with something like rubbing alcohol. Get as clean as you can, then put the same clothes back on. It would be a little better on the John Carter. Better, but weirder. zip yourself up in a plastic bag? The galley was on the opposite side of the room. Just a microwave and a surprisingly small refrigerator, and a bunch of drawers of food and utensils. A fold-down work table. In the middle of both rooms, both levels, was a round table with 8 seat-belted chairs. I guessed for socializing. Wouldn't it be smarter to have smaller, separate tables? Just in case there turned out to be somebody you couldn't stand the sight of? After 6 months, that might be everybody, though, including the mirror. Mustn't think negative thoughts, as Dad says. Only 2 weeks in this one, then a change of scenery for 5.5 months. Then a new planet. It's funny, I said quietly to Card. On the boat over, I thought I could pretty well tell who were the rich people and who were the Neo-Martians.
Fancy clothes?
Or careful downdressing. An ironed T-shirt. That's a dead giveaway. With clean old jean shorts.
But here...
Yeah, and it's not just clothes. No makeup or jewelry. That has to rag them. It's going to be interesting.
Some of the Martians are rich, too, Card said. Barry's dad's an inventor, and he has all kinds of patents. They came out in their own plane.
Couldn't afford a ticket?
Sure, right. He's got 2 planes, 2 motorcycles, 2 cars, just in case one breaks down. They live on the lake in Disney.
Billionaires. But still, it seemed kind of wasteful to have 2 of everything, even if money's not an issue. But I didn't say anything. Barry seems like a nice enough guy. Card shrugged.
Sure. I think he's a little scared of his dad.
I wonder if his dad eats bull dick soup. That's scary. Card started giggling, and so did I. Mother gave us a warning look, and that made it worse. We climbed back downstairs, snorting, and managed not to break any bones.